Next item on the agenda is the crabbing licenses for VAC 20-1040. Yep, go ahead. Kathy, turn the air up a little bit, please. Air conditioner, make it cooler, a little cooler.
Don't take that sweater off.
I was about to take the sweat off.
Commissioner, I have two handouts. One is a public comment, the only public comment we've had on this issue. It's from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and the Chesapeake Bay Foundation indicates support for continuation of the moratorium on the sale of additional licenses. At the same time, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation indicates support that also come with an exemption for Tangier in order to be able to buy licenses. And I can comment on that later after the presentation.
Anybody think we shouldn't cap licenses?
The second item, I'll have some slides of this, and this will be a useful informational piece. It's the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment recent findings on the status of the stock of blue crabs in Chesapeake Bay. And this is a very thorough report and contains, again, some of the information I'll show you. So today the public hearing concerns proposed amendments to Regulation 1040 pertaining to crabbing licenses, a request to extend the moratorium on the sale of additional licenses. I think first thing, the moratorium on additional licenses has been in effect for 8 years, since 1999. With the original moratorium, it was reinvested three different times, again in 2000, 2001, and in 2004. In 2004, the moratorium was scheduled to last until 2007, and that's why staff is here today. In terms of the many reasons that staff is going to be asking for a continuation, I just wanted to go through some of the information for you. The original reason for the moratorium was based on mainly the license sales, and you see on the screen license sales from 1995 through 1998 by the gear types, which are part of the moratorium on additional licenses. And at that time, there was concern by staff, the CRAB committee, VIMS, and the commission of the abundance of licenses. And at the time, even then, the abundance of crabs was in a lower phase, especially the potential spawners that VIMS assesses on the spawning grounds each year. And by that time, they had told us for, about 5 or 6 years that the potential spawning stock was very low on the spawning grounds. So with that, a moratorium was enacted. And if you look at recent data, this is from the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey. So it's an independent measure of the status of the different size groups of crabs. And one thing I want to point out, you may have or might hear about the recruits, the young crabs, crabs that are called a little bit erroneously age zero since they aren't truly aged en masse. But what you can see right away is that there's a very low value with the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey. So the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey covers about 1,500 stations throughout Maryland and Virginia, roughly from December 15th to about March 15th of each year since 1989. So the 2006-2007 survey found a very low abundance of new crabs or recruit crabs, and the only other low value was 1991. This is of concern to some scientists because of its low value, and the implications are that there should not be very good landings in the fall this year once those crabs are tractable by gear. At the same time, in your packet, when you go through that packet, you'll see some additional figures. And what you'll see is that the VIMS trawl data and the Maryland trawl data don't paint quite a pessimistic view of the age zero crabs. They show a catch per tow, which is similar to almost average time series levels. So that the other thing to mention here is the recruits are the most poorly measured class of crabs because of the fact that there are many in the shallow areas. There are variations from year to year, and obviously they're a very small size. So more importantly, when you look at the fisheries and you look at exploitation or harvest, you look at what's known as the one pluses. These are crabs that are 2.4 inches and larger. Again, here's the time series from 1989 through 2006. And what you see is that 2006 certainly wasn't the lowest amount of age 1 plus crabs, or 2.4 inches and greater. But again, it's not average either for the time series, which is this green line going across horizontally. So here you find 2006 down here. There is the ability, since this is done by the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey, to take the estimate of those crabs, which is about 122 million crabs in 2006, to take that amount and be able to figure out what the exploitation rate should be for 2007. And when that was done by Maryland Department of Natural Resources, they found that it looks like the exploitation rate, which I'll show in a few slides from here, may be higher than it should be because of the fact of the low abundance of the smaller crabs. So that's information that we didn't have back in 1998. The Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee was just getting started up. They didn't have this level of information that could be provided to you on the abundance of the age one crabs, let alone the time series, which now is approaching 18 years of data for what is, after about a three-year period, what was determined is the best set of independent data to use for providing advice on the status of the stock of blue crab. These are just landings data. They're the bay-wide data, and one thing to consider, many of the scientists that we've been meeting with in the Blue Crab Regulatory Review Committee since June, and we finished our third meeting just recently in November, they all have indicated that this is a almost like a one-year crop that the fishery has turned into really just having 1 year to work on. And so it shouldn't be too hard to imagine that if you have a low abundance of the exploitable size crabs, exploitable by either peeler fishing or hard pot fishing, that your landings are going to reflect that. And I think in the evaluation I did point out that there's no doubt that the regulations the commission has enacted since 1994 and recently with some modifications to the sanctuary earlier in this year, as well as to the sponge crab limit, that those regulations, it's difficult to tell what they have done overall. We know the spawning stock hasn't responded to those regulations, but I think the scientists told us recently that without those regulations, would things have been worse? And I think that's an open-ended question. So the landings bay-wide have been low. When you look at Virginia, and a lot of information, but I think one thing to look at, this is the hard crabs, and almost 22 million pounds in 2006. There certainly was a comparable amount in 2003. But when you look at the long-term average, it's more in the 35, 36, 37 million pounds. And the bay-wide average from the late 1940s on is about 76 million pounds. And then you have to say, well, if mandatory reporting didn't really take hold in Virginia until 1993, and Maryland had also a new reporting schedule in the 90s, then probably the older numbers were even higher. In other words, when you had voluntary reporting, I think everyone is under the conception that those were probably low estimates. So a little bit worse than the old days of voluntary reporting even. When you look at the peeler fishery, there was some concern years ago because if you look here and follow the tract, if I can make my mouse work, you saw quite an increase as you came across on this line on the totals. And we started out with less than 2 million pounds, and by 2001, almost 2.5 million pounds. Well, the slide started slowly, but it really picked up after that, so that by 2006, less than 1 million pounds. Just another reason why staff, when you look at the landings, let alone all the fishery independent data, there's not optimism about taking away the moratorium on licenses. Another piece of information which is valuable is the exploitation rate or the harvest rate. And these are really just percentage removals. So in 2006, 50% of the Chesapeake stock of blue crab was removed strictly by crabbing activities. This doesn't include natural mortality or any other factors, predation. It's in essence anything else. Just fishing is 50%. The target fishing rate has been established as 46%. And I think if you look at the green indicators here, that should be black, by the way, but look from here down, those are the years where it was below the target. There's something known as a threshold, which really is just an overfishing limit. It's a biological limit that indicates once you get to that threshold, you start to degrade the stock's ability to propagate. It may not be right away, it may not be a year or two, but it does occur. And you can see in the red there the number of years where there was overfishing occurring. So we have low abundance, we have overfishing occurring in a lot of years, and we have low landings. And I think when you go to the next criteria, which you might want to look at, this is optimistic compared to the VIMS trawl survey. This is the winter dredge survey. So this looks at all age 1 plus females, ones that will spawn either the following May, June, or more in July, August. So it's a potential measure. But what you see is that the values aren't quite even on the average in the last few years for the time series of the winter dredge. When you look at the VIMS trawl data, which I don't have here right now, I know that it's a flat line essentially. So, and Dr. Lipschitz has spent quite a bit of time showing the commission that from 1992 until last year, and it continues this year, the potential spawners are very, very low. So that, you know, there's not much relief in terms of the spawning stock. As one last item on what has occurred, if staff, the Crab Committee, VIMS, and the Commission were concerned about the number of licenses or even nominal effort back in 1998, when you look at 2006, really the only gear, crab trap, has shown a decline in the number of licenses. We still do have the transferability. We have capped it at 100 licenses a year for the pot licenses. But nonetheless, there's been very little movement, if in any, in some of these license categories. And concerning the transferability in 1995, we did eliminate the need to transfer a boat and gear with the license. And concerning the request for Tangier, that was one of the factors at the time, that way they would have greater mobility and the transfer process would not have to be impeded by the sale of a boat and gear. This is really the draft amendments to the regulation to 1040, and you can see here that the lawful crabbing season of 2008 through 2010 are proposed to continue the moratorium on the sale of additional licenses. The same transferability is still involved. You can transfer within among family members or between commercial registered fishermen up to 100 licenses. Staff recommendation is to establish the continuation of the moratorium through 2010. That's what I have, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman.
Rob, should it be the 100 licenses? Is that what it should be, is 100 licenses?
That's the transfer. It's capped at 100. There's 100 transfers.
Okay.
That started 3 years ago.
Make sure I had it right. Yes, sir, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question for Rob about the request for the Tangier exemption. Could you comment on that? A Tangier fisherman right now, what can he do? He could transfer from one family member to another without any restriction, correct? And he could, or he could transfer an existing permit or existing license up, provided that he gets in under that 100 cap.
Yes, it's really the same. Excuse me. It's really the same as anywhere, but back in the situation of 2005, when there was so much hardship involved and so many complaints about the boat and the gear being part of any transfer, that was some consideration for Tangier. In addition, I think at two separate occasions, the Crab Management Committee met to discuss this issue and did not support it. And in fact, on one of those occasions, I remember the Tangier representatives did not support it. And the code section is 28.2204.1, and it says that the commission may, despite any such limits to licensing, issue such gear licenses to any person who has resided for at least 5 years on an island in the Commonwealth that is at least 3 miles from the mainland.
Can't,
so that's how that
you can't say
all
specific
came about.
Locality.
Right.
It's kind of like you can use, red light photo in 50,000 plus, not to exceed 75,000 in Southside Virginia or something.
And I guess overall, these are very tough times. I think probably you will be seeing more press once this goes forward. Some of you remember back in 2000. When the Bay jurisdictions reached their agreement for the 15% reduction, something like this, I think is going to get more and more attention behind it, because there really aren't a lot of good indicators right now, and we are waiting for the next set of winter dredge data, and staff hopes that what I told you about the other surveys not showing such a pessimistic view of the recruits, that really doesn't occur again in the next survey. Because that is a big problem.
No, the basis of management is you have to know exactly how much effort is out there, right?
Right.
I mean, and this is one step toward it. Really determining how much effort is out there is another, which we really probably could do a better job and are contemplating looking at that down the way. So,
yes.
I mean, you don't have to be a fishery scientist, as I am not, to look at the numbers and see that there's potential problem out there. So public hearing. Any further questions, Rob? So public hearing. Anyone in the audience, pro or con, on the matter? Public hearing's closed. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the punchline in Rob's report is right here on page 3, where it says, in 6 of the last 9 years, overfishing occurred. And we're dealing with the resource.
That's a punch.
We're dealing with the resource. It's not doing well. Effort is a major concern, and I think the only prudent course of action is to extend the moratorium on the issuance of the license.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Thanks, Rob. For something that didn't take long to act upon is a very good report.
Thanks.
Very, very, very eye-opening.
Thank you.
Or more so, I mean, almost like a poke in the eye. Next item on the agenda. Yeah.